Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon text is our gospel lesson. Tonight, we are observing what the church celebrated yesterday. That is the festival of Saint Mary Magdalene. Now, there's a lot of confusion throughout even church history and church tradition just as to who this woman was. For a very, very long time, they had conflated, that is, they put a bunch of these Marys together in the person of Mary Magdalene. In fact, the historic gospel lesson for this celebration is actually the woman wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, with the ointment. And so what we found, of course, is that with this conflation, we've said no. But the issue here is really that there are so many women named Mary in the New Testament. In fact, there are at least six of them, five of which lived during Jesus' lifetime on earth. Now, of course, we know the most important and famous Mary, that is the mother of Jesus. Her Hebrew name is Miriam, and so we see Miriam's in the Old Testament. That is his mother, the Theotokos, the mother of God. There's also Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. We hear of her sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to the one thing needful while her sister Martha is busy taking care of the house. There is a Mary who is the wife of Clopas. There is a Mary who is the mother of Mark. And then there is this Mary, called Magdalene. Not her last name, but rather the fact that she had come from a city called Magdala was a city on the Sea of Galilee. So not her name, but rather where she had come from. Jesus the Nazarene, coming from Nazareth. Mary Magdalene has been conflated. In fact, there are many stories that you might think about her. But the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of information. In fact, the Bible really only tells us that Jesus had exorcised seven demons from her. We read from Luke chapter 8, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. So all the stories about prostitution and things like that are not actually a part of what the Bible says about Mary Magdalene. That might be news to you, but it's the truth. So all we can say for sure is that this woman had been possessed by seven demons. I think that's bad enough to deal with. And Jesus had healed her. Jesus had exorcised the demons from her. And in turn, she devoted her life to him, to following him, and to telling others the wonderful news of her Lord. Our intro it is very important both for her and for us. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me out of the depths. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who had gone down to the pit. She had been possessed by seven demons. Surely her heart felt that it was in the pits of Sheol, in the very pits of hell. But when you consider what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us, maybe we haven't been possessed by seven demons, but apart from his work in our lives, hell was our destiny. Apart from Jesus Christ's work in our lives, we can do nothing but sin. And thanks be to God that he has saved us from the pit of hell. Thanks be to God, he has brought us out of that misery, given us the ability to overcome even sin. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Christians who put their faith and trust in the one true God will sing his praises eternally, forever. Our Old Testament lesson, Proverbs 31, is often written about. In fact, there are Bible studies done on the Proverbs 31 woman about how a wife is to act. Think about these words. It's hard to measure up. An excellent wife is far more precious than jewels. Her husband trusts in her. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. It goes on to talk about all the many ways that a woman serves in her vocation of wife and mother. All the wonderful things that women provide to our culture, to our society, to her own home. All of these things are great things to look after, to pursue. But the most important part is the ending here. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. That means every time your husband tells a dad joke, you laugh as if it's the funniest thing you've ever heard, right? Maybe not. I tried. Unfortunately, my wife's not here tonight, so I'll have to give her that one when I get home. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. A woman's voice adds beauty to a fallen, disturbed world. A voice of beauty. God has given so many women a beautiful voice to sing out his praises. One of the things that I love about Divine Service 3, that is the service we're doing tonight, is that it is broken into parts: soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. And it is a beautiful sound to hear as those voices mix together, as a man's voice, both higher and lower, and a woman's voice, both higher and lower, join together to sing these beautiful praises to God. Kindness is on her tongue. She is not quick to gossip, but rather to build up her husband, her children, as so many wives do. So many mothers are the most comforting voices to their children. When they are crying because of physical pain or emotional pain, their mother's voice soothes them. When they are crying, when they are little and being held, the mother's voice soothes them. Even yet in the womb to be born, the mother's voice soothes them. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Now, I've heard, I don't have teenagers yet, but I've heard that isn't quite so much the case when you have teenagers. However, a child will grow to respect and love all the wonderful ways that his or her mother provides. And so she is blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. In ever a case where you might forget what to say to your wife, simply quote these words. You can't do anything better than quote God's word. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, write that in your Hallmark card the next time you forget an anniversary, okay? In our lesson from Acts, we see the fact that Jesus Christ had to die on an accursed tree. And he went to that tree to die for the sins that you commit, that I commit, for all the anniversaries that you've forgotten, for all the times that you have failed to honor your father and your mother, for all the times that we have neglected the word of God living in our lives. Jesus Christ died on the cross. But that isn't the end of the story, is it? For just as Mary would ring out in our gospel lesson, Jesus Christ is risen. He has conquered death, not just for himself, but for each and every person who believes in him. And so we look at these words. This timeline can be kind of confusing about the resurrection. The four gospels do include it, but at times it looks like they don't agree. But that is not the case, for God's word cannot lie. Rather, you must piece them together. So at first we read Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. Now, anytime you read in the Gospel of John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, remember that that is John. John writes about himself, and he calls himself the one disciple whom Jesus loved. Beautiful, right? Isn't that great? So Peter and John go. Peter and John go to see this empty tomb, but they do not see Jesus. Mary returns to the empty tomb later, and she begins to weep bitterly. She loved this man. She followed this man because she knew in him was the only source of salvation. And while crying, Jesus appears to her. He says, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She doesn't yet recognize him, but she responds. And Jesus gives her one word, and it opens her eyes and her ears to who he is. He says her name, Mary. Instantly, she recognizes him, because do not forget the beautiful words that my sheep hear my voice, they hear me. I have called you by name. You are mine. Jesus calls Mary by name to give her the comfort that passes all understanding, the joy, the peace, and the hope that passes all understanding. And she is given a very important task. For Jesus gives her the task to be what we call the apostle to the apostles. He sends her to go and tell his brothers, the disciples, that he is alive, and that he will meet them. Mary goes and tells them this beautiful news, the message that Jesus Christ, who was dead, is alive, that he has conquered it for each and every one of them and for us. This reminds us that public preaching, what I am doing tonight, is given only to those men who are called by God. But that does not mean that men and women should not proclaim the beautiful message of Jesus Christ. Men and women, pastors and laity, have all been given the same gift, the same proclamation, and that is to go out to the mountaintops, to go into the cities and to the towns and everywhere that you can be and proclaim the mighty works that Jesus Christ has done. Even if you do not believe you have the most eloquent voice, tell everyone what Jesus Christ has done. Because it is at the end of the day, it is the only message that saves. It is the one thing needful. It is the most important thing you can ever tell another person. So whether you've known them your whole life or just met them walking down the street, tell out of what our God has done. And so, with Mary, we rejoice. And for Mary, we rejoice as the church sings. We sing your praise for Mary, who came at Easter dawn to look for Jesus' body and found her Lord was gone. But as with joy she saw him in resurrection light, may we by faith behold him, the day who ends our night. Amen. Peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.